You were born in 46?
44.
Right, yeah, okay. And the only reason for wanting to know that is so that I order the responses.
No, I don't mind at all. 1944. December the 21st.
Good Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a real downer then when it comes to Christmas.
It is. It always has been. My mother one year tried to give me a birthday in June, thinking it would help. It didn't. Nobody knew it was June, and then everybody had forgotten it was December, so it wasn't a very good idea.
1944, so you were absolutely at the end of the war. You won't remember much of the end of the war, but you'll remember lots of things going on.
Well, the rationing, you know, we had of course, until 55, and I don't remember the end of the war because, you know, my father was away, so I don't remember him coming home, but... I still do have the teddy bear that he brought back from wherever he was, but it needs to go to the repair shop because it's got a bit battered up. But I don't remember him coming home, because I was probably just 1.5, maybe.
Well, my father was at home by the time I was around, but I used to go over the road. The thing I remember 1956 for the most was for the Hungarian uprising.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Which I think struck everybody in this country pretty much.
Yeah, I think so too, yeah.
Not least because we've just come out of a war. Well, we were still in rationing in the early part of 56.
Yeah, didn't fish until 57, did it? Or was it 56 that it finished?
I think it was 56. Fish was rationed.
Yeah, we didn't have anything.
So, you know, I used to go over and look in the fish shop, and you just had all these marble slabs with nothing at all, but a bit of plastic parsley or something down the middle.
Yeah. I don't really remember having any meat product. I don't know what we ate. Mm-hmm. I didn't care for meat very much, and I know that my mother, we had eggs because we had them from Morris Thorpe because he had chickens. But
and Morris Thorpe was up past the Swan.
No, he was right before, it was between our house and the Swan.
Oh, was he really? Okay.
Yeah, he's right by Quill.
Yes, okay.
The track that goes
down
by
the
Swan.
So that's Vale Farm then?
That's where we went to get our eggs and milk.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, that's how we survived. But I don't really remember, because I was in nursery school.
Yeah.
And we did have some sort of sloppy stuff, but it wasn't really what you would call food. And I realise now it was because there was rationing.
Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't what, as we know, food today, as it was then.
No, see, bread wasn't rationed then.
No, we had...
But it was sometimes still quite hard to get.
Hard to get. We had... Mr. Lansley came round with the bread.
Yes.
In a little blue van, I think, blue-black van. And he used to have the most wonderful lardy cakes. Oh, gosh, they were so good. I haven't had a lardy cake in years, but... we used to get a lardy cake off him and the bread. I didn't know that bread wasn't rationed because that's how we got our bread.
So. But there used to be a baker's in Kintbury.
Yeah, there was.
And the chap who ran that, he retired some years, I don't know. It was sort of after 2012, but not long after. He advertised for somebody to take over the business.
Oh, really?
And nobody would wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to get it all going.
Yeah.
But he did lardy cakes. Do you remember the Huntleys?
Yes, yeah.
Well, I used to get lardy cakes from there and take them to Dennis and Anne.
Oh, because Dennis Huntley used to play cricket with my dad.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Oh,
well. Yeah.
So I took them lardy cakes, which they really like, and it was lardy cakes were one of those things where
they were very fattening. I know, looking back on it, but we loved those lardy cakes.
Yeah.
And I was made out that I didn't like currants, and so Granny Cruz, she would say, "This is our little secret. You can have a lardy cake. It's got currants in it, but nobody will know." So you sell this lardy cake. Bless her.
So your earliest memories of Ink Pen, there obviously wasn't much traffic on Craven Road.
No, we did have a car, but we were one of the very few people that did. And that wasn't until probably early 1950s. Yeah. We had a Morris Minor convertible.
Right.
Pale okay. blue.
Definitely.
It was fun. My father was always one for the cars, but he had a little, they cycled everywhere. We just had bikes.
And that's one of the themes. If you listen to some of the audio tracks, people go on about the fact that they cycled everywhere.
We did.
You know, it was just the thing. And it didn't matter sort of how old you were. Everybody cycled.
Everybody did. Yeah. I cycled to Hungerford to go to the Girl Guides. And I think about that. And I think coming back, it was dark almost, you know, coming back at night. And I went to Kimbury to the Brownies, and I think Mum and Dad must have taken me there. I don't remember cycling there, but when I came into Newbury to school, when I was 11, I cycled to Kimbury every day and caught the train. And that's a lonely old road there.
Yes, it is.
Inkpen down to Kimbury, and I did that going in the morning and coming back at night. And that's how we got around. It was, you know, what we did.
Did you cycle past Templeton very much?
Yeah. That's the way I went.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Because that was really sad that got...
Yeah, because...
Sort of got rid of,
yes,
in effect.
Yeah.
Because it's got such history to it.
Yeah, because when I cycled there, of course, the monks were there.
Oh, were they?
Yeah. And then they left, I suppose, and then it became what it is now, but yeah.
So there was, at Templeton, there's a bit slight deviation, but at Templeton there was the walled garden.
Yes.
And then there was a building next to it.
Yes.
Presumably, and that's where the monks would have been.
Yeah.
Because you know that the Hospitallers, the Crusaders lot, they were there.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So they were there before the First Crusade.
Yeah, it's so much history.
So there, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's a chap that's been in touch with me, and he follows the Crusades, and he comes to Inkpen because Inkpen is one of the key places at the end of the Crusades.
Oh, really?
But not a lot of people know that.
No, I had no clue.
No. Oh.
How interesting. Yeah.
So cycling was the thing. When you went to those clubs, they were around. They weren't particularly in Inkpen, but they were Hungerford, Kimbury.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, the Girl Guides was the closest was Hungerford for the Girl Guides, and that was down on the Croft, and then Brownies was in Kimbury.
Right.
Yeah, we didn't have any of those. The Women's Institute was there, of course, but then and we had a youth club once a week.
What did the youth club do?
We had dances on a Friday night. It was all very innocent, but it was, people used to come from Shelbourne and Ham and all around to come.
Well, there
to
was even less in Shelbourne and Ham than there was in
Yes. At least we had the village hall where we could go to. And I don't remember any bands, but there must have been somebody playing there because there was music. We would do dancing and, you know, we'd just do kind of... it was just a place to meet. But
perhaps somebody bought a record player.
They may have done, I don't remember.
Yeah.
There was certainly music there.
So what age, that would have been teenagers?
14, 15.
So for people who were sort of pre-teens, there wasn't anything really?
No. We made our own enjoyment. You know, we just did, we walked, we cycled.
So in the summer holidays... You obviously played with a lot of people.
I played with Bobby May and John Wyatt.
Right.
They were my buddies. And we'd walk all the way along Sadler's. We'd go through the fields. Bobby, for some reason, Bobby had a tractor back there somewhere or knew somebody that... And we'd get on the tractor and we'd drive around. I mean, we did sort of innocent stuff, but we just made our own entertainment.
Yes.
We'd walk up to Coombe. We'd go up the path to Coombe. We'd sit up there and have a picnic. We'd take a picnic. I mean, we just made our own enjoyment. It was, we didn't seem to need anything. We didn't have a television until I was probably 13 or 14.
Right, okay.
We didn't have electricity until I was 11 or 12. So we didn't have a television. So nobody else did either. So we just.
But you had a radio.
We had a radio. Yes, we did.
And yeah. and without electricity.
Yeah, it was had batteries. I'm sure. Yeah.
And you don't do you ever remember taking the batteries to be recharged?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I'm sure my father must have done, but no, I don't. We used to listen to some sort of like a science thing on, I can't think what it was called, but it was the thing that everybody listened to on once a week it was on.
Oh.
And it was just so exciting. I can't remember what it was called. I'll have to try and think about it. But yeah, the radio was the only thing we had. My father played the accordion. He played music. Yeah, he was in Ink Pen Band and he played the accordion beautifully. Never had any music lessons. He played completely by ear. And we just played music. He played absolutely beautifully.
So how much do you remember about your grandparents?
I was with my grandparents all the time in Ink Pen at Totterdown. And my gran taught me to knit when I was probably three. Taught me to sew, taught me to cook. My mother couldn't cook. She thought she could, but she couldn't. But my grandmother taught me to cook. And those are my happiest memories.
Yeah.
And she'd go to Hungerford on Wednesdays and go to the library and get everybody library books. And we'd read. And she knew what everybody wanted. And she'd go on the bus and come back with the library books. And that was her shopping day. They didn't ever really go out that I remember anywhere. Mm-hmm. We went there every Sunday for tea. That was a expected thing that the family gathered on Sunday for afternoon tea. And we'd play games. We'd play cards or tiddlywinks or something. You know, we just all entertained ourselves.
Yeah.
So.
Do you remember Dick Barton? Or did you not ever, were you not a fan of Dick Barton?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we did. Dick Barton, we did listen to. Yeah, it was, but I can't remember the name of the show that we used to. It was almost like a Doctor Who type show. But it was really exciting. Every week we'd wait for this next install. But yeah, I think we just didn't know any different. It was just, we made our own entertainment. We were happy. No, I'd climb our apple tree there at Craven Hill and I'd sit there for hours with my book. I'd climb up in the tree and read my book and watch people go by. And
My brother and I there was a place in Bath where there was a big bomb crater, but there were some little scrubby trees by the side of it. And we used to get up into the trees and play as if we were aircraft pilots. So I don't know what I was. I think I always wanted to be the pilot. My brother was bigger than me, so he was the pilot, but I was the second pilot. And when we were getting ready to bomb, we used to shake the branches.
Yeah, shake the trees. Oh, that's sweet. I remember once that I was sitting up in that apple tree and some gypsies came by and took a copper kettle that we had, and I don't know whether I had it there at the tree for some reason, I'm not sure, but I ran inside and I don't know if it was my mother or my father, ran down the road to get it back from them. They just picked it up and took it. And we did have some gypsies in the village at one point that were, you know, we just were told that just be careful of your belongings, but they did take this copper kettle. I remember my mother being very angry about it.
But that was Head's Lane, wasn't it?
Well, they may have lived there, yeah. But they were certainly going down.
Because you got black latches. The blacks lived there. That's why it's called Black Latches.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And Hell Corner Farm was Granny Black.
Yeah, I don't think I knew the blacks then.
So they've got loads of their family buried in the churchyard.
In the churchyard, oh, yeah.
And they were all gypsies.
Yeah, oh.
And the Wrights were gypsies and so on.
Yeah, they must have been living there, because I didn't know where they lived. I just knew that it was the talk of the village, that they were gypsies in the village. And
But isn't that the thing, that the village, people didn't move around the village? It wasn't... Because it didn't have a centre, people kept their own little patch. Yeah.
You kept your own little pod.
Yeah,
really. I mean, Bobby and I were together, and John Wyatt, his mother was George Lovelock's daughter.
Right.
And George Lovelock had the farm in the Lower Green.
Yeah.
And she, I don't know whether they were living with George Lovelock, I'm not sure, but she built a bungalow that's opposite us on Craven Hill. I think it's called Barton End, I think it's
called.
Oh,
right, yes, yes.
That's who built that bungalow. And that's where John Wyatt lived. So we had our own little pod. I was with Bobby and John and Nick Thorpe. And that was our little Sunday school group. When we went to Sunday school, we just all sat together because we were the little poddy group. I didn't have any female girlfriends. I just mixed with the boys. And so, and I don't know that there were any. The Carters lived in the council houses on Craven Road, and Veronica Carter went to nursery school with me, but she didn't seem to be in the little group where we would go and do things. And other than that, there were no other little girls in the area there at all.
I think so, the people in the council houses, talking to Anne Smith, did you not remember Anne Smith?
Well, Mrs. Smith used to come every day to clean for my mother.
Right.
Old Mrs. Smith. I mean, she seemed to be old to me then, but she was probably my mother's age. But she came every, well, I don't know from what year, but certainly from when I was maybe 13, 14, she'd come every day to clean the brass and do the housework.
But they had a thing about living in council houses so that they didn't mix with other people.
No,
because they were council people.
They did, that was it. I was told at one point that we don't talk to people in the council houses. It's awful. I think it's so awful. My father brought me up to talk to anybody. You know, you pass the time of day with everybody that you see. Doesn't matter who it is. But my mother said, no, you mustn't talk to people in the council houses.
Surprising, isn't it?
I still did, but, you know, yeah, it was just, it was, and it wasn't her. It was just a general thing, you know, those days. We didn't do that. I don't know whether I told you, but strangely enough, the whole family, nobody knew that they all became Mormons.
Really?
A whole of the, my Granny Cruz, her father was one of 13 people, 13 siblings. He had 13 siblings. The two oldest boys, who weren't very old at the time, went to America to join the Mormon Church. And then they went back to England and recruited the rest of the whole of the family, all the rest of these 13, apart from my great-grandfather. And by this point, they were all married and had families, and they all emigrated to America. And they went from Ham and Shelbourne. There must have been hardly anybody left in any of those villages, because there was, I don't say hundreds, but it was into the lots of double digits.
Yeah.
So they not only came back and took their siblings with them, recruited them, they took the siblings' wives or husbands, I think it was mostly wives actually, or husbands, and those families, of that spouse's families, and they all went. They all went to Utah, that's where they all ended up, and some of them went over to California. And I didn't know until, this has been probably 20 years ago, we started to do genealogy, and we'd gone to the Mormon Church because that's the only place then that you could get good, it was before really we had the internet available, and it was all there documented, and I had no clue. And I tried to speak to my father about it, and he really didn't know. And I think it was perhaps because maybe my gran didn't know that her father had any siblings. I don't know. I just don't know.
That's strange.
So
I had no idea.
Had no clue. Absolutely no clue, because we're not Mormon. So the only one left behind. And yet my husband said to me a couple of nights ago, he had found evidence that he was also recruited into the Mormon Church, the one that was left behind. But I don't think he could have been practicing, because he was living in Inkpen.
But you went to Sunday school.
Oh yeah, but yeah, we've never been Mormons. I mean, we've always been Church of England.
So when you went to Sunday school, was that at
St. Michael's?
Right, okay.
Yeah,
Yeah, but I would never have imagined that there would be any Mormons living in England.
Who knew?
Yes, that's amazing.
I don't know how they even came to, the first two even came in those, we're talking about 1868, how they ever came to be recruited themselves. I don't know, because none of the family ever knew.
Even raising the fare to go to America.
They were on a boat, and it was all documented in the Mormon Church. They had written a diary of their trip across on the boat.
Wow, that must be something to read.
Yeah, it was amazing. And then, like I say, once they'd got there and got themselves established, they came back and got the rest of the family. But I just often wondered, I didn't know. I wished I'd known, because I could have asked Gran, do you have any aunts and uncles?
We all do that. We always say, we wish we'd done, but we didn't know, or we weren't bothered.
No.
Yeah.
So it was very odd.
So your granddad worked at Totterdam?
He did, yes.
And he was a gardener?
He was the head gardener at Totterdam. Right. He and my uncle, my dad's brother, they managed that whole garden up there together. Absolutely had it beautiful. Yeah. And they opened it to the public then. It was opened a couple of times a year for people to go and have a look around the garden.
What did your dad do as a job?
Well, he was, when he left school, he trained as an orchid grower, specialising in orchids in Hungerford, I think in Eddington. And then when the war came, he went off to war, joined the Air Force and went off to war. He came back and they'd given his job away.
Yes.
Of course, you know, that's what happened, I think.
It did.
And I think he sort of scrambled for a bit, but I don't think very long, he got a job on the railway. And he was a signalman for 30 years. Kimbrey, Hungerford, and just did like a relief. He just did all the signal boxes. He retired, and then he went, when they'd moved into Newbury, he worked at the police station as a dispatcher for quite a few years too. So, and then he retired.
But a lot of the people who went off to war as youngsters, they were told that there would be jobs for them when they came back, but there weren't.
No, that's exactly what he was told. Yeah, and then there weren't, so
yes,
it was difficult, I'm sure. I'm sure it happened all the time.
It did.
And, you know, they didn't know whether they were going to be coming back or not, so it's sort of understandable, but it was still devastating, I'm sure.
It was bad.
Yeah.
Yes. What did your mum do?
She taught at Inkpen School. I think very, very intelligent. She had a lot of O-levels and A-levels behind her. She went to Newby Grammar School, cycled into school from Inkpen. She taught at Inkpen School with Mrs. Martin. They were just the only two teachers there. And then the government brought in correct legislation, I think, where they had to have some different training, something which is the right thing. And she didn't want to, it meant going away somewhere, I don't know where, but she couldn't leave me, obviously. So she didn't pursue that. And that's when she started, well, she'd always been, I think, writing snippets for the Newby News, but that's when she became full-time at the Newby News. And old Mr. Turner, the owner of the Newby News, gave her the job. And she was the first female reporter that they'd ever had there. So she was...
And very well known.
Very well known. Yes. Yeah.
And you told me about the fact that her first job was to cover a
yeah, the balls, ball. Yes. Yeah, and he must have given her the money to go and get a ball gown, two ball gowns. She had very nice ball gowns. But yeah, in those days it was a big thing in Newby to have the hump ball, and they had a lot of big... I don't know where they held them, I don't remember. A lot of things happened at the Corn Exchange, and so maybe that's where it was. I don't really remember. But
also said she went to Belgium.
She went to Amsterdam for the Women's Institute, right. Yes. Yeah.
And do you know what year that was?
I think it was 1948, I think.
48, 49,
yeah.
And she flew over, she which flew must over, have been...
Yeah. Yes.
Since most people had never flown in their lives, that was quite a thing.
No, and when I was 11, she suddenly decided, or about suddenly, she'd obviously been thinking about it, but took me on the train to Nice. We went down to the south of France. Well, in those days, nobody went outside of England. I mean, if this was 1955, nobody went anywhere. And so we got on the train and we went all the way down to Nice, and just she and I. She spoke French fluently. We went on the bus to Monaco, to Monte Carlo, and up into the Alps and all sorts of stuff. But people just didn't do that in those days. So she was a bit of a trailblazer in a way. But
absolutely she was.
Yes.
Quite amazing.
Yeah.
Do you remember, I think Bob May's parents were very, I would say, Victorian in their attitude. Do you think that was a sort of fairly normal thing?
I do, yes. Yeah, I couldn't wear jeans on Sunday. I had to wear a dress, and I had to wear a hat, of course, to church. That was what everybody did.
Yes.
But I think we were very, it was a very strict upbringing. Yes, it was of a very Victorian. There was not much relaxation. And it wasn't, it was a very happy childhood. It wasn't unpleasant, but it was a Victorian, much more so than, I think in the 60s, everything started to get a little more relaxed. But yeah, it was very, very much a Victorian era, I think, still going on. And yet my mother's parents were completely not that way at all, which you would have expected for another older generation. My mother's mother had a permanent seat at Reading Football Club, went to Reading Football Club every week to watch Reading play football, which sort of amazes me now to think about that too. But you would think that by my almost Victorian upbringing that my mother probably had that. But they certainly weren't like that with me. So whether they'd softened, I don't know. But
it is funny when you look back at the lives of grandparents. They're quite surprising in many ways, the things that they did. I mean, my grandparents got married during the First World War, I think. Well, no, it might have just been at the end of the First World War. But they wore things like winkle pickers.
Oh, yes.
Which
yes.
In the 60s, everybody started wore. Yes. But it was one of those things you thought, this is new.
Yes.
And it wasn't new at all. It was.
Yes, yeah.
Just strange things like that. So you it just sort of changed your opinion of grandparents.
Yes.
They weren't quite as ancient.
As you thought. No, that's true. But I do think, and maybe just because it was a stricter upbringing. But I think that, Bobby would have been in the... They were all that same sort of era, I think.
Yes.
And they all... Everybody tended to a garden. We all had garden, you know, where they had vegetables. We all grew our own vegetables.
Yeah.
So that was a big thing for...
So milk and eggs were things that everybody collected from somewhere local. There were several places, I think, in Inkpen providing milk.
Yeah, I only know that we got ours from Morris Thorpe because I used to have to walk down there and get the milk and wait for it to come from the cow.
Yeah.
So we got ours from Morris Thorpe. But I'm sure there must have been lots of other places where there were, because Miss Clark and her brother lived right next to us at Clark's Farm, which is opposite the Craven Arms. They probably provided milk as well. I don't know. I used to go and visit them, Miss Clark, all the time. But we didn't ever get any milk from there. But they had cows, so they must have provided milk, I think.
The other parts of Inkpen, which most people regard as sort of hamlet, so Upper Green, and there wasn't anything in Folly Road until Miss Martin had her house.
Because it was probably the only house that was there, pretty much the only house that was there for a long time.
Yes, that's Post Office Road. I don't know that there was much in Post Office.
No, there wasn't. There was a shop there.
Yes, but the post office.
was it the post office as well? Because it was a shop, definitely a shop, Mr. Ward's shop, where he had, but I don't remember it being a post office, but it probably was. It was the only, it was a shop, and it was like a, I just remember it being long and narrow, but he stocked pretty much everything, and that's where we would go if we needed anything.
And but there was a shop that sold newspapers and that down at Lower Green.
There was, yes, and that was in the Lower Green, and that was sort of where the telephone box is now, to the left hand side of the telephone box. As you're going up towards the church, it was on the left there. Yes. And that was where we got newspapers from.
Yes. Did they do anything else?
Sweets, I think.
Sweets, yes. That seemed to be the norm.
I think that was it. Sweets and newspapers.
You knew of Christchurch Church?
Yes.
Did you ever go into it?
No, I didn't. No. Yeah. Not when it was a church. No. No.
I just wondered what it was like inside, because outside it looked amazing.
Yes. I've been inside there since it wasn't a church, but I was never in there when it was a church.
Right.
No, I had not been there for...
It just seems such a strange place
yes.
to build a grand church.
Yes, yeah, because it's sort of in the middle of nowhere there.
Yeah.
And I had forgotten until I was on the website last night again that we had St. Gabriel's Church there in England too. I had completely forgotten that that was there. Because it's not there anymore, obviously.
No.
But
then there was Primitive Methodist.
Yes.
There was a Methodist chapel, which was different. The Primitive Methodists were down at Lower Green.
Lower Green, but where was that in Lower Green?
Well,
I don't know where that was.
Somebody told me that it was, as you come down from the church by the triangle, keeping triangle to your right, I thought it was the building that was on the left there. But somebody tells me it was a building that was on the right that is no longer there before the Swan. I think it was on the other side, but
yeah, because the Swan was really where Swanstown coaches went right up to the back of the Swan. So I'm not sure. I don't ever remember a building being there. But it could have been on the left-hand side by George Lovelock's farm.
Do you remember many people being Methodist?
No.
But you see, there were three churches, the Methodist chapel, Primitive Methodist.
Yeah, I hadn't.
And there was up the bridle path towards Fox Hill, there was also a building up there which was a Methodist church.
I had no clue.
And you have a very small population,
yeah,
but you've got five or six churches.
I know. I just only thought there was St. Michael's. I didn't ever know. I think I knew there was one, the St. Gabriel's.
Yeah.
But I didn't even know that the Methodist one was there until my husband went to do the genealogy.
Oh, right. Well, the chapel, of course, is still there.
Yes.
Although it's a house.
It's a house now, yeah. But I didn't even know that that was...
And the pubs that were there, so you had
the
Craven Arms and the Swan. The Craven Arms had stopped being a pub probably.
It had, because my aunt lived there. And when she lived there, it was two houses. But the Craven Arms, my grandfather, Frank Cruz, was owned by his brother when it was a pub. And then he left there... and owned the pub at Peasmore until the end of his life, for like 30 years. He left the Craven Arms and went to Peasmore.
Did you ever go to the Olive Branch pub?
No. I've been in the Swan, of course, and the Crown and Garter, but even the Crown and Garter, because it was in Upper Inkpen, didn't mix with the Upper Inkpen.
It is that when people walked around... Johnny Bantz, he said that he remembered his parent walking to West Woody because they lived at Upper Inkpen.
Yeah, that he lived next door to Rob Jordan and Nurse Jordan. Of course, Nurse Jordan was the nurse that we all had to go to
for everything.
Yeah. And my doctor was in Hungerford, but my dad went to Dr. Kennedy in Kimbury, and I never knew why. Well, I think because probably Gran and Grandad went to Dr. Kennedy in Kimbury, so that was probably where Gran and Grandad Cruz went to. But my mother, we went to Hungerford to Dr.
Well,
Wallace.
Dr. Kennedy moved to Hungerford.
Oh, did he? I didn't realise.
Yes, he did. He moved to the new purpose-built building, the surgery in the Croft.
Oh, right.
And
I didn't realise that.
There's an area at the top of Hungerford High Street, which is Kennedy Walk or Kennedy Close or something.
Oh, named after him.
And Becky Kennedy, who you wouldn't have known.
No.
She had a building. She built a big bungalow immediately below the church.
Oh.
So not church farm, but the building on the corner. Becky Kennedy and Dr. Kennedy had that built for when Dr. Kennedy retired. But he died.
Oh.
So it was...
No,
he didn't use it.
Oh.
You know, it was Becky Kennedy who lived there.
Oh, that's sad. Yeah, that was... My father went to Dr. Kennedy, as I think a lot of people in Inkpen did.
But the doctors came out to you if
they
you
did,
were, without any qualms, day or night.
Yep.
I don't know how they slept.
I don't know either. And I remember when I was at the nursery school, I fell. I must have been 3 or 4 at the most. I fell and hit my head and cut it open. And the staff from the nursery school took me to Dr. Wallace in Hungerford, and the surgery then was in the high street, sort of by almost where the entrance to Tesco is now, in that area there. And he gave me this, like a monkey on a thing that went down.
Yes,
and squeezed
I had one
it.
Of those.
Yeah. And gave me that to play with while he stitched me up. And I went home, obviously went home, got off the bus with my head with a big old bandage around it, and Gran picked me off the bus at Totterdown and wanted to know what had happened because there was no telephones. Nobody had a telephone. So the staff from the nursery school took care of taking me to the doctor. The doctor took care of me with nobody knowing what had happened. Nobody had a clue. So it was, you know, simpler times, but amazing to think that it still all worked. Obviously, we all survived and we all got through it. But, yeah, I still remember the monkey that you had to squeeze it, I think.
You did.
And as you squeezed it,
it went up.
It went, kept going down. I'd never seen one since, but that's what he gave me to play with while he was stitching up my head. I've still got a mark there where he stitched me up.
Well, isn't that amazing? You had something for a while that I had.
Yes. Just to take my mind off being stitched up. But I don't think I was any more than 4. I know I wasn't any more than 4.
Must have been quite traumatic being stitched up. Because no local anaesthetic.
I think I just took everything in my stride. I think it's the survival of the fittest, you know. So
you think now you have spray on stuff to stop you feeling anything.
Yes,
but in those days it would just stitch up.
It was.
So you went to school in Hungerford.
I did go to nursery school and primary school, yes. Yeah.
And when you left school, because you went to St. Bart's.
I went to Shaw House.
Oh, you went to Shaw House,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what did you do for a job when you finished school? What age did you finish school?
Well, I was going to, I'd got my life planned out. I wanted to be a midwife. And I had, you couldn't in those days start nurse training until you were 21 because you were under your parents' care until you were 21.
Yeah.
And I was going to go and do nursery nurses training. They had a place at Cold Ash that was a nursery for nursery nurses. And before I took my GCSEs, I got home from school one day on a Friday and my mother said, on Monday, I've got you a job in a bank. You're going to work in the bank. And like I say, until you were 21, you didn't say anything. You did exactly as you were told. And I did never go back to school. I went to work at the Trustee Savings Bank in Newbury. and I was 16, and I hated every minute of it. I mean, I stayed there for quite a while, but I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
It taught me a few things. We didn't have anything like calculators, or so I can add up and take away in my head pretty quickly. You just kept a ledger of everything that happened, big books, and everybody that came in, it was handwritten, everything was handwritten. And once a year in November, we sat for several days doing an audit, but it all had to be done in your head because there were no calculators.
Absolutely.
And so...
And people also don't remember, or don't tend to realise, that we didn't have pound shillings and pence. We did have pound shillings and pence. But we had fractions. We had farthings and things like that, you know. So we were used to fractions.
Yeah, yes.
And everything way before...
Yeah, that's true.
Children at school these days do fractions.
So it was... it did teach me I can add up. Everybody is still amazed. I can add up and take away and do sums in my head pretty quickly. But that was that training. And then one day I was at the dentist, and we went to the Briars to the dentist, and Bruce Mayhew, I don't know whether you know Bruce.
Bruce is a long time friend of mine.
Asked me if I would go and work for him.
Oh, right.
And so I said, okay, let me think about it. And he said, I want you to come and work for me, and this is going to be good for you. So I went to the Briars and became a dental nurse, where I stayed for 15 years.
But he moved then to Hungerford.
He moved to Hungerford and then to Swindon. Yeah.
So I'm just going down here. I haven't done these in great order. Do you remember the sawmills?
Yes.
In Inkpen?
Yes.
In terms of employers in Inkpen, apart from the school, the sawmills, the pubs, and the big houses, there wasn't any other employment.
Farming, I suppose.
Yes.
Was the only other way, yes. It was farming, the pubs. Then the Swan was thriving.
Yes,
I don't
was.
Know about the Crown and Garter so much, but the Bridgewaters owned the Crown and Garter, and they had a son who was the same age as us.
Mm.
I don't remember his name, but they owned the Crown and Garter, and of course it was nothing like it is now,
yes.
But Rob Jordan and Johnny Barnes and I think it was Michael Bridgewater, they were in that little pod in that Upper Inkpen area. But yes, apart from that, and the sawmills was the biggest employer, I think.
Yeah.
And farming was, and the houses who employed, that was
it. When it comes to the sawmills, did you hear from Lower Green? Did you hear the hooter go off?
Don't remember it.
No. Because a lot of people said to me, oh, yeah, so hooter used to go off at 4 o'clock. So we knew that everybody took down tools at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, no, I don't remember. It was probably just that little bit too far away for us to hear.
So I didn't think there was any other employment.
No.
And the Totterdown, when you think about the big houses, Totterdown, Rushwood, Titcomb Manor, Kirby House.
Yeah.
I don't know whether Westcourt actually did much in those days. I don't think
so. Yeah, I don't remember. Kirby and Totterdown were, I think, the major two.
So Friday night and weekends when you were younger, that was probably push off to Newbury, was it, mostly, apart from...
I don't know, not really. We just stayed around at weekends.
Yeah.
We did church, of course, on Sundays, and went to Grand's for tea at 5 o'clock, precisely 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. And I don't think we ever really left much. We didn't go into Newbury very often.
No. Did you use a train much?
To come to school, I did.
Right.
Cycled from Inkpen to Kentbury, got the train. But other than that, not really. My grandparents, my mother's parents lived in Reading, and she would put me on the train at Newbury or Kentbury maybe, and my grandparents would pick me up in Reading, and I was young, and I'd go there for the summer holidays sometimes, most summers actually. But yeah, we didn't really, we might come into Newbury once a month, I remember going to the cinema a couple of times, but that was it. The Regal was in Newbury then, and we went there a couple of times. But Hungerford would be the place to go shopping if we were going to do any shopping. We had Spackman's and we had Alexander's for groceries. And I think Spackman definitely delivered. They used to deliver groceries then, and you'd have a list, you'd have a book, and you'd write your list out in the book, and then they'd tick it off and put the cost at the bottom, and then you'd pay them when they came. I don't know that Alexander's did that, but Spackman's definitely did. But those were our grocery shopping, so we didn't very often go to Newbury at all.
It's sad that Spackman's closed, because they're quite an old Hungerford family.
They were, yeah.
So I guess that's progress. Bus service, was that very regular?
I don't know that it was any more regular than it is now, actually. We had, when it was snowing or bad weather, I would take the bus to school, and I'd have to go to the Lower Green and get the bus. And it would obviously go in the morning in time to get to school, and it would come back in the afternoon after school. And I'm not really sure, there may have been one other during the day, but it wasn't frequent, but we probably had three buses. But they did used to run early morning and come back in the afternoons. Yeah. But I think there was only like one back in the afternoon after school.
I'll come back to something else in a minute. But the electricity, we've said, you got that up at Totterdown around about 1956.
1955-56, yes. Well, Totterdown, that was at Craven Hill. Totterdown, I don't think my grandparents had it until much, much later.
Right.
Probably another, maybe 1960 even. And then their cottage was sort of modernised a little bit. I think they had an indoor bathroom put in rather than an outside toilet. I think then they got electricity, but it wasn't until then. It was after we had electricity, I think 1956.
But most people 56. Had, early on, most people had outdoor
loos. We all had outdoor loos, yes.
That was one of the things in the 1960s, to get an indoor loo.
Yes. Yeah, we all had it. 1955 was when we had an inside loo, but my grandparents did not. But we had an outside loo until that point, yeah.
Access to telephone, we've sort of covered that. I guess a lot of people used the telephone kiosks.
They did,
for things.
Yeah, the one in the Lower Green was well used, yeah.
If you look back at your experiences of Inkpen, what would you say the highlight? What memories sort of come to your mind most easily?
I think I loved growing up in the country.
Yeah.
We'd go walks and try and discover new wildflowers. I mean, it sounds so innocent now. Kids don't do that today. But we'd go along the hedgerows and just... and Miss Watts, Lillian Watts, was my English school teacher, and she was very fond of me, and I've since discovered that she's actually in my genealogy.
Is she really?
So I didn't realise, but yeah. And she obviously didn't realise, but she was fond of me. But we used to have to do wildflowers at school and learn all the wildflowers, and she was very much into the environment.
She was.
She was very, very, very... She seemed to be very old and very strict teacher, but looking back, she was taught me a lot.
Yeah.
But we do... I think it was very happy times. We were very... didn't take much to enter... We didn't need entertainment. We entertained ourselves. We played cards. We played games. We'd play Monopoly for days, or we'd play different things. We'd make our own entertainment, basically. So it was a very happy time and a very, very happy place to be. And I loved being in the country. Just ride our bikes everywhere, we'd walk everywhere. It was just such a wonderful, wonderful life.
So I think you're right. I think people were able to entertain themselves without needing to be entertained. I mean, these days, in your holidays, people take their children out every day to different things.
Yeah, well, we didn't do that.
That just didn't happen.
No, it didn't.
So just completely alien to me. If I can go back and ask you about the weather, which sounds a bit odd, but 1963 we had the blizzard. That was quite, so was Ink Pen cut off?
I think so, yes it was, yes, yeah. In 1963 I was actually living in Newbury, and it was, everything was cut off for months.
Yeah.
Months. Nobody got out from anywhere, so.
So, we've, the wet, I know the weather for where I was really bad, so we had the army dig us out.
Oh really? Yeah.
So yes, it was quite a thing. 1959, I seem to remember, was quite a hot summer.
It seemed like then every summer was hot. I don't ever remember it really raining through the summers. We just seemed to be, you know, I just don't remember.
And I think also most Christmases we had snow.
Yes. Yeah. Indeed, I
think
so.
Isn't that a different thing? Yeah. We don't see that at all now.
No, I just remember every summer being like this. I don't remember it being any different.
What did you do at Christmas when you had, well, for Christmas Day, did you make the stick-on little Christmas decor? I don't know what
chains,
you call them, but
like,
they're chains, yes.
Yeah, we used to do those chains, and then our Christmas stocking always had an orange and a walnut.
Yeah, that's right, yes.
And little tiny things. I mean, just a little stocking, but yeah, not much at all. But it was fun. It was fine.
It sounds like a lot of things were universal.
Yes.
So, is there anything that you think is worth adding? Or do you think we've done?
No, I think we've covered pretty much everything. Yeah. It's been, yeah. It's,
thank you very much.
Oh, no, thank
that's
you.
That's really kind of you.